In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In my third job, I take care of children that have special medical needs. And I've taken care of people on ventilators that could only breathe with help of a ventilator, laid in bed because of paralysis. The only way they could go anywhere was to be put in a wheelchair and strapped in and brought about. Couldn't do anything on their own. Taking care of kids with brain tumors that may or may not develop. In one case so far, one doesn't seem to have developed any further. Taking care of children with mental retardation and with various problems because of cerebral palsy. So I know a lot about, from the exterior, about disability. And therefore, when I saw a picture of a gravestone, some of you might have seen it. You know, the internet is about more than just cat pictures. There was this picture that I saw. A man had made a statue kind of thing, like out of bronze, of the gravestone, of the headstone. And the headstone was the boy exiting his wheelchair, and he was reaching up to heaven. He was only small. He probably was 6 years old, 7 years old, probably had been in a wheelchair most of his life, probably because of some sort of progressive paralysis. But he was dead now, and so he was reaching up to heaven. He was leaving his wheelchair. He's no longer paralyzed. That's what we're aiming for during Great Lent. We're aiming to no longer be paralyzed. We're aiming to have God fill us. I wanted to talk to you about that because this is sort of the unofficial beginning of the preparatory period for Great Lent. We actually don't sing anything from the standard, the book for Great Lent, the Lenten Triodion. But we read this Gospel of Zacchaeus, and next week we sing or read the Gospel of the publican and the Pharisee, and Zacchaeus was a publican, so the two are linked. One was real, of course, one is fictional, but they're linked in the mind of the church. And so this is sort of the beginning of the preparation period for Great Lent. And a standard question people ask is, what's the purpose of Great Lent? Or perhaps maybe the pastor asked it for them so that he can answer it because he wants people to understand what Great Lent is for. That's probably what happens most often. Great Lent is not for repentance. That's the standard answer. It's a very small answer. That's like saying Jesus Christ's incarnation, death on the cross and resurrection is for the forgiveness of sins. It's a very small answer. Great Lent is not just for repentance. Of course, repentance occurs in Great Lent. But that image of the boy that is raising out of his wheelchair, reaching up to the heavens, and the angels are taking him, that is what we are trying to achieve in Great Lent. We're trying to be ready for that moment when on Pascha, God fills us with grace, and we're ready for that grace. Most of the time, we're not so ready. We're distracted by the ways of the world. And so, God fills us with grace every day. But most of the time, we don't feel Him. Not as we should. So, Great Lent is this period of time that we try to have ourselves in a condition to feel the grace of God. To be able to leave our wheelchair, no longer be paralyzed. This paralysis is sin and ignorance. Do you feel that? I talk about it all the time. Because I feel that it's really the whole point of life is so that we would be free of sin. Not forgiven of sin, free of sin. But you have to feel that you're not free of sin in order to become free of sin. So Great Lent is this period of time of becoming more aware of our sinfulness. And I don't mean the stuff you do and you don't do. I don't mean that you keep tracking and you say, oh, I had an egg today and I sinned. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about you looking at yourself as a human being and saying, I fall short of what I should be. I don't belong here. This is not my world. This is a strange world where there is hate and lust and judgment and ambition and anger. And what is more, I even participate in this strange world. I don't want to participate in it. It feels foreign to me. It's wrong. And yet I participate in it, but I don't want to. I hope that that's the feeling that you have about sin. Not the things you do and don't do, but who you are that you want to be that person who is free, completely free. That's what we're aiming for in Great Lent. Repentance is a large part of it, but repentance without a goal is just, it's useless. Let's talk about Zacchaeus, because he epitomizes this transformation that we want to have occur in Great Lent, leading us up to Pascha, so that when Pascha occurs, there will be some way the Lord touches us that we've never felt him touch us before. So Zacchaeus was a publican. That meant that he collected taxes for the Roman Empire. He was a Jew, but a bad Jew, a Jew that other Jews didn't like, because the unwritten agreement, the unspoken agreement, was he would collect taxes for Rome and a little extra besides for himself. So pretty much if you were a tax collector, you were a thief of your own people. So he was hated, but he was rich. But he felt paralyzed. His life wasn't fulfilling to him. And so he heard about Jesus Christ. Everybody was talking about him. And in his heart, there must have been some little ember, a little bit of warmth, thinking, maybe I can be a different person. I'm going to see this person. And he was little, so he had to climb in a tree. And the Lord came to him, and he said something very important to him. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. No word is superfluous in the gospel. The Lord said, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. This is that transformation moment. The Lord said, I'm here. I'll change you. I'll fill you. You can have what you desire, but you've got to come get it. Do it quickly. We do things hastily when they're important to us. An important meeting and we feel we're late, we rush to it. So Zacchaeus rushed out of the tree, and the Lord went with him to his home, and they had a dinner. And this dinner is really indicative of the Lord giving of himself to us. He said, I will abide in your house, meaning I will abide in your soul and will transform you. You'll no longer be paralyzed by sin. You'll no longer have that ache inside you about the stuff that you are, that you don't want to be. And about how you feel like you're a stranger in a strange land, you'll no longer have any of that. You'll have perfection. You'll have me. You'll have beauty. You'll have purity. You'll have joy. Joy that never ends. Not like the worldly joy. Worldly joy, really, there's no such thing. It's just worldly happiness. And it always ends. This transformation is what we're aiming for. It's a beautiful transformation. And I wanted to tell you about the boy in the wheelchair reaching out as the angels are taking him into heaven as a good image of this transformation. Now, to some of you, I'm saying these things and they're resonating with you. And you understand what I'm saying because you feel your sinfulness. And to some of you, you're a little confused because perhaps you confuse difficulties in life with this personal angst that I'm telling you about. Don't confuse that you have not a good job, you're not making enough money, that you're in a poor relationship, that there's sickness in your family, or other things that make you unhappy. Don't confuse that with this feeling that I'm trying to get across to you. The only way we can feel our need is to compare ourselves to God. And that's why I tell you to read the Gospels all the time. Because basically, all you're doing is comparing yourself to God. And of course, coming up short and feeling this deep desire to be like Him. And that's why we pray. Especially prayer that's really deep, hard prayer from the heart. Because that illuminates us about the kind of person we are and who God is. And motivates us to want to be better. Zacchaeus had his moment, and the Lord said, make haste. We have these moments too. Now, this is a story, a true story, about one thing that happened to a man. But in our life, and his life too, there are many occurrences that happen in which the Lord says, make haste, for today I must abide with thee. You must be able to hear those moments. Great Lent is that great opportunity to learn to listen for those moments where the Lord says, make haste. Stop doing that. Come to me. Change your priority. Don't think like that. Think like this instead. Do this instead. Be this person and not the old person. These moments happen all the time in our day-to-day life, but we're not so aware of them. Zacchaeus, the day before the Lord came, was just a rich, short Jew. Not happy, but rich. Probably didn't have any particular plans to change his life. But then the Lord came, looked up in the tree and said, make haste and come down. You got to listen for those moments. Very important. If you look carefully at Great Lent, the entire theme of Great Lent is about transformation of the soul by God filling it. And I like it when people say the purpose of Great Lent is to repent. It's not true. It's to be transformed. It's to be ready when the sun comes out to feel it completely, to have it warm us completely. There's many examples. Zacchaeus is one. The publican, in the story of the publican and the Pharisee next week. Of course, the prodigal son, the one who came to himself and came to his father. He made haste too, didn't he? Because he made that long trip back to his father, barely alive. And probably when he couldn't take another step, his father was there because he was looking for him from afar off. The example that we have outside of the scriptures, Great Lent, that we spend a lot of time with, is Mary of Egypt. And she had her Zacchaeus moment too. Do you remember her moment? She'd been living for 17 years, I believe it was, as a prostitute, and really worse than a prostitute, according to her own words, completely frivolously, thinking that lying in filth was life. That's how she termed it. And she went to Jerusalem just because there were a lot of men on the boat. And then everybody goes to venerate the cross. So she's got nothing to do, so she figures she would too. But she couldn't go in because the Lord would not allow her. She wasn't aware that she was a terrible sinner. It didn't bother her that she did what she did. She liked what she did. She liked the meat and the fish and the wine and, as she delicately said, the caresses. She liked all that stuff. She didn't intend to change, but she wanted to see the cross because everybody wanted to see it. She couldn't do it. And then she had this moment, this beautiful moment, where she realized why she couldn't get in to see the cross, because of her impurity. And then she asked the Mother of God to help her and promised to her that she would change. And then she was able to make haste to see the cross, to leave almost in a delirium, and then to spend, I believe it was 42 years in the wilderness, the greater part of them living like an angel. She had her Zacchaeus moment when she came to herself. The prodigal did when he came to himself. Zacchaeus did when the Lord said, come down. The other publican that we'll talk about next week had it when he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then the Lord says that he left justified rather than the other, rather than the Pharisee. His moment was when the Lord comforted him and showed him that he heard his plea, not just for mercy, but for healing. You should be looking for your Zacchaeus moments. They're beautiful moments. Now, I want to tell you something about those moments. If you haven't already figured it out, they wear off. That deep, wonderful feeling of being with God, it goes away sometimes. And we end up doing stupid stuff again. But God is still there, still present. And we can reach out to him. And we can have another time when he says, make haste. I want to abide with thee. This is the whole point of the story of Zacchaeus. The transformation of the soul, and those moments when the Lord speaks to us. We could go into a lot of details about Zacchaeus. There's really a lot of meat in the story about his promises and about the Pharisees that were judging him and judging Jesus and all the rest. That's good to know. But really as background, because the primary thing to know is this. God is calling you every day. And you have to learn to listen and hear him. And then respond to him. And then he dwells with you and he changes you. And that paralysis that you have, it goes away. That pain in your soul about the kind of person you are, the things you've done, the things you continue to do, the way you think, the way you spend your time, it starts to go away. You become better, fuller. And God lives in you. That's the whole point of our life. And Great Lent is sort of an amplification of what should be our entire life. And these stories that we have, especially these next 3 weeks of Zacchaeus, the publican, and the prodigal, are indicative of what should be our whole life, where we become aware that God is reaching out for us, take us out of our wheelchair, to keep us from paralysis, to bring us to fullness and completeness. You have to learn to listen for it. I hope you do that this Lent. I hope you fast reasonably well this Lent. I hope you're able to come to the services. Hope you pray and all those sorts of things. And perhaps you'll measure yourself by these things and decide whether or not you had a good Lent based upon whether or not you fasted well and prayed well and whether or not you got through the ladder for the first time and whatever. But really what you need this Lent is to hear God speaking to you. Hear him saying, come down, and for you to come down and for him to abide with you. That's what you and I need. So let's pray that that happens. God bless you and help you in all things.